on, Raymond?
Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, please sit back because you are now about to go behind the blue curtain.
Happy Juneteenth to everybody out there, and welcome to Behind the Blue Curtain. I'm your host, Stan Mason. For those of you just tuning in, let me tell you how we do this here. This is regular, normal talk. We don't have a black side, a white side, a blue side, a straight side, a gay side, a Republican, Democrat side. We have a real side. Right is not divvied up and divided amongst people. It's going to stand on what it is. In here, everybody is equal. Everybody's voice is important. Everybody's opinion is welcome, but everybody is fair game. You come in here, I don't care if you're black, white, rich, poor, the police chief, the politician, the preacher, or the police officer on the street. You can come in here and get tore up from the floor up in here because there's some people who are living through or who have lived through some of the experiences that those of us talk about. And here I enjoy hearing from the people who have lived the things that a lot of us have studied or read about or somebody told us about. On here, this is where the elites can come and be in charge, where their opinion matters, because society tends to push some of the people who are struggling, who overcame these struggles, to the side and allow those with credentials to speak for those who've been through it. So on here, nobody's above the fray. We're all going to get muddy. We're all going to pat each other on the back, but we're all here to learn together. This is where you can come to and your voice can be heard in here. This is not my show. This is our show, and everybody in here is equal. Everybody. Nobody's above anybody else. Nobody's going to trump anybody else. If you call up here, 646-716-4621, press 1 if you've got a question, comment, or concern. We're going to let you get heard. This is not one of these shows where you give a 15-second sound bite and take your answer off the air. This is the barbershop. When you call up here, you are in the conversation. Over this week, and I know some of you guys follow me on Facebook, you know, we've been looking at these deaths that have been happening in prisons from either lack of concern, lack of medical care, lack of resources, or lack of emotion. Now, this is a show that I'm going to tell you all right up front. I have particular feelings for it because my niece, Monique, died in one of these dysfunctional incarceration facilities off in Dauphin County, Pennsylvania. Now, I didn't sue them. My sister, her mother, tore their ass up, and good for her, because it needed to be. But I didn't sign no consent decree or no clause to remain silent, so I can go about what I know and what I pulled up and what I learned. And so we're going to talk about some of these cases, because some of them are just ridiculous. But we're going to start out. Let's throw a little bit of facts out, because we always want to start out on firm ground. Now, a lot of people don't know the difference between a prison and a jail. You know, prisons house people convicted of crimes, and jails house people who are pending arraignment, you know, assignment, or being held otherwise for trial. Once you're convicted, now you go to jail until you get a bond and whatever. But once you get that bond, you go into prison. I mean, once you get that sentence, that's where you're going to prison. So there's a difference between prison and jail. People say, well, why is that important? Well, it's important because we hear so much about prison reform. Prison is the final step. Let's do some jail reform. See, if we do jail reform, you may not get to prison. And then when we do jail reform, if we mix in police reform, you don't get to jail reform. And then before we get to police reform, if we do some self-reform, we don't get to the police to get to the jail to get to the prison. So you see, this is all going down one line. Now, I understand that there's a vast amount of us listening who fully recognize that the system is rigged. And yes, it is. It is rigged. And now we're, and so I know some people are going to say, well, here we go. Here comes the black card. No, here comes the fact card. We're going to put some facts out today. And I got this from the Bureau of Justice. So for all of you who say, well, he pulled that out of thin air. No, I pulled it out of Wi-Fi, the Bureau of Justice. Okay, let's talk about the American criminal justice system holds almost 2.3 million people. You hear me? 2.3 million people are in jail. 1,719 state prisons, 102 federal prisons, 1,852 juvenile correction facilities, 3,163 local jails, and 80 Indian County jails, jails on Indian reservations, as well as military prisons, immigration detention facilities, civil commitment centers, state psychiatric hospitals, and prisons in the United States and its territories. You know, if that's not crazy enough, the United States has more than 536,000 detained before trial, and that's more than any other country prisoners combined. If we go to any country and combine all of their prisoners in jail, we've got more people detained in prisons waiting trial than any other country. There are 5,000 youth are currently in adult facilities in the United States. There are over 8,500 youth behind bars for technical violations of the requirements of their probation rather than a new offense. So violate probation, well, let's spend some more tax dollars. Let's just go on and throw them back in juvenile. 2,300 youth are locked up for simple offenses, which are behaviors that are outside the norms of their violations or what an adult would do. You know, these are not, you know, crimes such as like truancy, runaway, things like that that aren't necessarily crimes, but nevertheless, they're locked up for them. So let's go on and spend some more tax money while we're at it. Added to the universe of people who are confined because of the justice system involvement, 22,000 people are involuntarily detained or committed to state psychiatric hospitals and civil commitment centers. Many of these people are not even convicted, and some are held indefinitely. This is the Bureau of Justice saying this. This is not Stan Mason. This is not just pulled up out of the air. You guys can go in and look up the Bureau of Justice, DOJ.com. You can go in there, you can pull down what I got. 9,000 people are being evaluated pretrial or treated for incompetency to stand trial. And these facts are from this year so far. 6,000 have been found not guilty by reason of insanity or guilty but mentally ill. Another 6,000 are convicted of sexual crime who are involuntarily committed after their prison sentences are complete. Afterwards. Now, black people make up 40% of the incarceration population in America, but we only represent 13% of the population in the United States. Now, let's move a little bit closer. Now, this is from also from the Bureau of Prisons, the Federal Bureau of Prisons, and this is from Saturday, the 26th of May, 2018, their most recent set of people who are currently in federal prisons. Now, this is not your county jail, and don't go down there calling the county jail. Is he right? This is the federal prison. People who are locked up for burglary, larceny, and property offenses, 8,114. People that are locked up for continuing criminal enterprise, 372. Courts or corrections, 778. Drug offenses, 79,036. Extortion, fraud, and bribery, 10,865. Homicide, aggravated assault, and kidnapping, 5,547. Immigration, now this is crazy. Immigration, and this just came out, I guess, after 45, these numbers jump, 12,115. Miscellaneous offenses are 1,256. National security violations are 70. Robbery, 6,331. Sex offenses, 16,175. Weapons and explosives and arson, 3,061. Now, let's listen to it by race. These same statistics, the same time period, people in federal prisons. Okay, Asians, 2,700. Black, 69,324. which is 37.8% of the total number. Native Americans, 4,068, and white, 107,128. Now, the sentences that are being imposed based upon these numbers, these are the average sentences that are given out as of May 26th of 2018. This is from the Bureau of Prisons. People who get zero, who got 0 to 1 year, 5,950. 1 year to 3 years, 19,434. 3 years to 5 years, 19,493. 5 years to 10 years, 43,071. 10 years to 15 years is 35,956. 15 years to 20 years, 19,353. 20 years or more, but not life. 20 years or more, but not life, 23,177. Life, 4,733. And the death penalty, 57. Now, let's break it down by age so everybody understands, and then we'll get into the conversation of it. We got to get these facts up front first to let everybody know where we're coming from. Okay? Under 18, nobody. Between the ages of 18 and 21 in federal prisons now, 2,186. Between the ages of 22 and 25, there are 9,524 in federal prisons. Between the ages of 26 and 30, there's 23,439. Between the ages of 31 and 35, there are 30,514. Between the ages of 36 and 40, there's 33,948. Between the ages of 41 and 45, there's 27,792. Between the ages of 46 to 50, 21,126. Between 51 and 55, it's 14,790. Between the ages of 61 and 65, there's 5,436. And over 65, there are 4,773. Now, that's just some quick stats to jumpstart this off with. Now, what brings this show on? I understand that we need jails, and Lord knows I'm glad some of these folks are in them, because we got some folks that need to be there. So this is not an anti-jail show. Some people need to be locked up, period, point blank. But when you're dying from things like dehydration, when you're dying from things that are pre-existing medical conditions that the jail knew damn well, because they do a thorough medical screening and booking when you go in, they knew you had these things. And people are dying from these type of things. You know, people are dying under mysterious circumstances. Well, they said Sandra Bland committed suicide. Well, she hung herself. Why weren't the checks being made in the jail that should be made? Now, I understand you're going to have inmate violence in these jails, and they're going to kill each other and do whatever they're going to do. There's nothing the guards can do about that. They're just, you know, if you want to kill somebody there, when you get the chance, they're going to do it. So, you know, we're not going to lump that number in, and we're not going to blame the guards for not preventing two inmates from killing each other, because it's no different than out here in society. I go out there to work every night. If you want to kill somebody, there's nothing I can do to prevent it. Unless I have prior knowledge and I'm in contact with you. But we got some crazy people in this country, so we might as well just own up to that. Some people are going to go to jail, and they're going to die from natural causes, such as cancer, heart attack, stroke, and things like that, and there's nothing the jail staff can do. So this is not meant to bash the jail staff, the men and women who are actually in there on the ground. This is to bash the penal system as far as to say we got to do something with these jails. You know, how do you have a woman die of dehydration because she didn't get insulin, crying out for it? How do you have the man up there, Sheriff David Clark, one of my favorite people, how does somebody die in his prison of dehydration? This is 2018. You know, this is not the Holocaust. This is not slavery. Well, it is slavery to an extent in some of these prisons, but you got people dying in there. You know, particularly, you know, my niece went in to Dauphin County with a pre-existing condition, and they knew about it. And my sister called them after she called her the day before she died, which was the day before her birthday. And they didn't want to respond to it, but they called her that Saturday morning to let her know that her daughter was in the hospital, brain dead. These people don't give a damn. I'm going to tell you that right off. They don't care. They don't care in there. When you go behind those bars, you know, I understand amongst the inmates, you might have to fight and you might have to do some of these things. I've never been in prison. Hopefully some people who called in have been there will call in and say what it's like. But, you know, you would expect the medical staff to care in some of these prisons. You would expect the guards to, if you don't care, you're getting paid to act like it. You got people in some of these prisons who don't have food. The conditions are dilapidated. You got folks committing suicide. How do they even have the opportunity to commit suicide if you're doing what you're supposed to do as a prison? You know, they shouldn't even have that chance to even do that. I'm gonna read off some of these real quick, and then I got some phone callers in. I'm gonna open up the phones because I'm not the expert in this, and we're all gonna be able to sound off and say how we feel about it. You know, I may be in the wrong ballpark, and somebody can call up and disagree with me, and that's fine. You know, this is in custody deaths. This is according to the Atlantic.com. Between 2005 and 2015, 6,913 people died while in legal custody here in the great state of Texas. Many died of natural causes while serving long prison sentences. Others ended their own lives. A few died at the hands of another inmate, or in some cases, police or correctional officers. In a handful of instances, people died from cardiac arrest after quickly ingesting a lethal dose of drugs while being arrested or after getting pulled over by police. Together, these deaths form a revealing pattern about Texas-style justice and the state of corrections in an increasingly carceral country. Pre-booking deaths reported by law enforcement. Now, pre-booking is when you get to the jail, before you're actually in the system in there. Pre-booking deaths reported by law enforcement have been on the rise since 2005 and more than doubled from the fewest reported deaths in 2006, which was 74, to the most reported in 2015, which was 152. The racial disparities in Texas criminal justice system generally translate into racial disparities in custody mortality. While blacks made up 12% of the state's population in 2010, they composed 36% of those incarcerated between 2005 and 2014. And also accounted for 30% of the deaths from 2005 to 2015. Now, I'm just going to let that resonate for a minute. And I got a caller from the 804 area code, and you're on, last 48603. What's going on?
Hey, Stan, how you doing today, my brother? I hope all is well with you and your family. Hey, those were some horrific statistics that you put out, man. And my only concern is with that is how come our community is the most populated in these prisons, man? There's something sinister going on here. And to me, that's telling me it's not about a rehabilitation. It's about punishment. Or there's even something deeper, racism. If you got a darker hue in your skin, then, you know, you're probably more likely to get locked up or get longer sentences. What do you think about that?
You know what, brother? You're right. And that's undeniable. That's undeniable. But I'm going to still go back and say, yes, some of us are set up. Some get the okey-doke. Some are wrongfully in prison. And some of these crazy-ass judges drop these sentences on folks like they're going out of style. But I got to go back to square one.
Right.
And it starts with some of us. See, we want to be out of order. We don't want to listen to our mother. We don't want to listen to our father. We don't want to go to church. We want to be the clown in school. We want to sag our pants off our ass. We want to do things that prepare us for a meat grinder that we already know is out there. Your granddaddy is a hamburger. Your dad is a steak. It's been grinding up your family for generations, but you want to ride that ride. That goes nowhere. The ride is crooked. The ride is flawed. Nobody's ever come back from the ride and got off better off than when they got on it. But we keep standing in line. Make them work to get you. Make them have to work. But we make it too easy. We go out there doing things we shouldn't be doing. Man, everybody smoke weed. Lil Wayne smoke weed, so I'm going to smoke weed. Well, you know what? Lil Wayne can pay that Class A lawyer to get out of there. You can't. Lil Wayne don't need a job. You do. And when you get that weed charge here in Texas, that possession charge attached to your driver's license, maybe Lil Wayne will let you go wash his cars. Gus, I'm not disagreeing with you at all. We know the system is slanted. So why do we keep standing in line to perpetuate some ghetto myth of manhood and machoism? I ain't no punk. No, you're not. The jail is full of people that ain't punks, and it's full of punks too. But everybody's getting out with the exact same stain on their record, out here looking for a job. And some of us don't have to be there. We didn't know how to keep our mouth shut in school. We didn't want to listen to our mother. We knew better than she did. Don't want to listen to your father. We knew better than he did. You're sitting here watching your homeboys get blown away and picked off one by one in the system, but you still get in that line. Now, I agree with you 1,000%, but I will not relieve some of these brothers. And when I say brothers, I'm talking about white folks, too, because there's some thugs over there. So we might as well get everybody on up in this. You know, if you want to be a thug and you stand in that line, you're going to ride the whirlwind. You're going to reap the whirlwind.
Amen. I do think that we are predisposed to be committing crimes, but certain elements of our society look at us as being predisposed. Now, I'm not talking about the people who belong there. I agree with you 100%. Now, you do the crime, you got to do the time. Like, for instance, the man didn't tell you to put that dope in your system. The man ain't tell you to traffic in narcotics, right? And the man ain't tell you to rob anybody or carjack or do all those other horrific things. But so why put yourself in that position to even be judged by a court you know that's stacked against you?
Exactly. Now, I don't have a problem with tough drug laws. Let's toughen them up. But let's stop. Oh, see, we always get the black guy, the poor white guy. We get them. We don't have any ships. None of us owns an airplane. We never seem to get the people who are bringing these huge amounts of drugs into the neighborhood. Now, if you're going to be fair, Jeff Sessions, you want to be tough on crime, you know what? You want to be tough on drugs, Jeff, you don't even have to leave Washington, D.C. You could probably walk down the hall or catch an Uber across town if you want to really do something about the drugs. You'll see people want to play with you. As long as we make the numbers. We can make the numbers black or we can make the numbers white, but the numbers are what the numbers are. But when you got black people making up 30% of the incarcerated population in America, and we're 13% of the population, there's a math problem there. There's an enforcement problem there. Hello, police chief. Y'all hear me. And don't throw Baltimore. Well, Baltimore is 75% black, so we ain't talking about no damn Baltimore. We're talking about the United States of America. You know, and these guys that are in the system now, I got to mention this, Gus, stay on here because I want you to stay with me on this.
Okay.
You know, I see so many of these people, and a lot of them I've locked up, and they've come out, and some of them, they come up and meet me, man, it's good to see you. You still out here on the streets, whatever, because I keep that kind of relationship with them. I'm fortunate that way. But, you know, this is what really hacks me off about it, is when you have these type of conversations, invariably, you'll get these far-gone evangelistic, holier-than-thou, just came down from the mountain, spoke with Moses, God, and Jesus personally, and they're going to come on and tell you, well, they shouldn't have went to jail anyway. That's what they get for going to jail. And then when they see these people out of jail, yeah, I remember what he went to jail for. Wait, aren't you the same person Jesus forgave? Didn't I see you speaking in tongues and rolling around in church yesterday? You're so forgiven, but you can't forgive somebody who paid. So you didn't even pay for this, as Jesus did, but these people paid for theirs in jail. And you want to condemn them, but let us not forget, John the Baptist, Jesus Christ, and all 12 disciples did time without a bondsman. But we have no problem forgiving them. See, there's enough in this argument. We can get on the prisons, and we're going to get on them, because I still got some more stuff that I'm going to throw out. You know, all the way down to these crooked corners. I'll tell you something, and I can tell you from personal experience, Gus, having gone through with my family, my sister's on here on the Facebook Live, I thought my little sister was going to be one of these fold-up, I'm going to call one of these high-powered black civil rights attorneys, and I'm going to strategize and go all over Facebook and put all my business out there. No, no, we don't do business like that up in the bird. Mm-mm. My little sister kept quiet, went and got a lawyer, and took and beat him out the frame. Beat him out the frame, quietly. She didn't come on Facebook and put everything out there. She handled her business. And you'd be amazed the corruption that kicks in, the covering each other's ass, the denials. You got folks that deny everything all the way up into the videos, bro. So this system, I can tell you firsthand, I know how it is. So if somebody calls up, never been through it, well, no, it's not that way. Really, you're just angry. Trust the system. Bullshit, trust the system. We're seeing folks getting released out of prison every damn day, or at least once a month, that have done 20, 30, 40 years for a crime they didn't commit. God only knows how many people are dead. They said, well, you know, at the time we thought, okay. The system as fair as people line it up to be. You know, and that's my problem with it. Got another caller in here real quick from the 214 area code, last 45160. What's going on?
Good morning, Stan. Shout out to Behind the Blue Curtain. This is Rob from the Roundtable.
What's going on, Rob?
I just got up. I'm listening to what you're saying. I'm actually kind of curious about something, though. See, I've been looking forward to this. You know how it is, Stan. I enjoy your show, your platform. You give everybody a chance to really not just give their opinion, but also understand what they're trying to say, but maybe also who they're trying to direct it towards. Because I think with the prison system, we have to remember in America that there's a history with this, that we didn't just get to 2018 where we're having issues with, you know, people of color being just thrown in jail for having a joint. You know, this all started way, way back. This all started at a point when an empire decided that they didn't want to do the work to build their empire or to expand their empire the way they wanted, so they went and got some Africans to do it for them. So when we talk about in 2018 with the prison system, these at the end of the day, the public prison stats, I was listening to something yesterday about how it's the job of the judicial system to reduce the amount of people that they have in prison. Well, we already know that about public prisons. However, we don't know that about private prisons. And my thing is, having with the history of the black codes in the South, with the history just of slavery in general, it's always been about, you know, these people. And we've been talking about it, or I've already heard it said as well, that, you know, that, of course, if you've done something wrong, if you broke the law, you do need to go to jail. You do need to be disciplined at the very least. But then we have to also understand how are we breaking these laws to begin with? Because with the black codes, the laws basically as they were weren't, you know, like tailored to any specific culture. But when slavery was over, then we had to deal with, okay, these immigrants just walking around with no jobs. So now we have to find a way to get them off the streets. I mean, at the end of the day, I guess the question I'm trying to ask is, how do we know the difference between the person that's the bad guy that needs to go to jail and the person that might have just got caught up because they didn't have enough money to make rent, they didn't have enough money they didn't have enough of whatever they needed. Resources are a big deal when we're talking about political minorities.
You know, you're right, Rob. I think right and wrong is just right and wrong. I don't have a problem. If you're wrong, your ass should get whatever punishment is there. I don't care what color you are. But I think when we get into the disparaging differences, that vast chasm of what some people get versus others, that's where I have a problem. Hello, judges. Y'all hear me because I'm not scared. Y'all know what I'm talking about. I posted one about this crazy judge in Florida. He giving out sentences. I mean, this guy is crazy. Black folks are going to jail for generations on this guy, and white people doing the same crimes are getting probation. It's on my page. Y'all can go Google this guy. Wish I'd have got his name ready. But the thing is, Rob, now we move into a different sphere when we talk about these for-profit prisons. Now, see, the difference with for-profit prisons, they don't give a damn if you're black, white, Asian, checkered, from Mars, Pluto, Venus. They don't care. They're about putting numbers in them beds to make money. Those are the new Motel 6s. That's one thing everybody on here better be worried about. If you live in one of these states that's getting taken over by these for-profit prisons, hello, Louisiana. Y'all better spend less time down there at the Mardi Gras, more time on the internet, and find out if you got one of these popping up in your area, because you know what? It's just like a stable. You build a stable, you're going to put some horses in it one way or another. And these prisons come with a price tag. Yes, they're going to save you money up front, but when you start getting hit with these administrative costs because a prison is under, say, for instance, 85%, the mandate's going to come down from on high. We can't keep paying this $25,000 financial expenditure fee or whatever legal name they put on it. We need bodies in there. Well, then that contradicts what the police officer is supposed to be doing. My job is to go out there and eliminate crime and make your neighborhood safer. Now, on the other end, I got somebody screaming at me to make numbers because we got to justify filling up this bullshit prison we didn't need in the first place that we went out and spent taxpayer money on. And now we're locking up folks. We don't give warnings anymore. The citizens are at the police officer's throat. The officers feel bad because they don't understand why the administration's making them do it. Nobody's explaining anything. Then the whole damn town is in chaos. Then you get these people in these jails where you got inadequate medical staff. You got these fly-by-night contracted medical companies. You got a board of prisons that's state-run or state-sanctioned. But then the private prison also has a board of directors. And half the damn people that you're fighting against are to sit on the boards to make the laws, hello, city council, are sitting on one of these board of directions for one of these private prisons, making money. You're not going to hear this on them big talk shows, but that's the fact. Google these prisons. Google them. If you get a private prison coming up in your town, I'm going to tell you what, you might as well kiss your wife and tell her, look, let's start saving, forget the college fund. You better start putting some money on the books because you're going to be in there sooner or later. And white folks, you too, because they don't. These private prisons don't care. They're going to fill the bed space. They need folks in these beds. Now, I'm going to go into something real quick. I want you guys to hold on a second. I'm going to come right back to you. Let's see. Suicide was the leading cause of non-natural deaths for both white men and white women, with 47% of white male non-natural deaths and 49% of white female non-natural deaths, compared to 31% for males and females of other races and ethnicities. Whites made up 45% of Texas population in 2010, but comprised 31% of the incarcerated population from 2005 to 2014 and 42% of custodial deaths between 2005 and 2015. Now, I'm going to read y'all something, and I talked to my sister before I did it, and what I'm telling y'all, I'm going to tell you I know personally about, and I'm not going to get too deep into it because my little sister's watching, and I'm not going to dredge up anything. But Monique Mason, on March 3rd, 2013, in the Dauphin County Prison, passed away. You know, my sister, Susan, and for anybody that's trolling, my sister didn't give me any information. She didn't tell me anything about the case. This is what I looked up on the Internet in reference to this, okay? My sister contended in a lawsuit that prison officials didn't give her daughter adequate medical care, even though they knew she was diagnosed in mid-2011 with a colloidal cyst in her brain. Such non-cancerous cysts can cause brain swelling and severe headaches, dizziness, and sometimes death. Several days before her death, Monique Mason reported suffering from severe headaches and was given a migraine medication, her mother claimed. Susan claims that 3 days before she died, her daughter was found unresponsive, but was eventually awakened. She didn't awake after her final incident on March 2nd of 2013 and was taken to Harrisburg Hospital, where she was declared brain dead 3 days later. Sandra Bland was found hanging in Hempstead, Texas jail cell on July 13th, 3 days after being cuffed, arrested during the traffic stop for failing to indicate a turn. The day after Bland's death, there was another death by apparent suicide of an 18-year-old Black Lives Matter protester named Kendra Chapman, who had been arrested at a demonstration in Homewood, Alabama, for allegedly stealing a cell phone. 43-year-old woman named Raynette Turner died mysteriously in a Westchester County, New York jail. Sarah Lee Circle Bear was reportedly found dead in a jail cell in Aberdeen, South Dakota. George Cornell, a 50-year-old who'd been arrested for shoplifting in Charleston County, South Carolina, was found dead in her jail cell on July 22nd. In Cleveland Heights, Ohio, a woman named Rakina Jones, who had been arrested after a fight with her husband, died in custody. Jones had been suffering from medical conditions that had been documented during her intake process and was administered her prescribed medication as directed, according to Cleveland Heights Police. 4,309 people died while being held in local jails or state prisons. In local jails, there were 958 deaths, an 8% increase over 2011. The number one cause of death was suicide. I don't know. How safe are these jails? How safe are these jails? You got people locked up. They're not getting medical treatment. They're dying of all these complications. Seems like sometimes nobody's doing what they're supposed to be doing or what they should be doing. We got them in there. Hell, let's just let them die. As soon as they did what they did, I'll get around to it when I get around to it. Where do you think you're at? You're in jail. We throw people away in this country like they're trash. I'm going to tell you all something. There's only three types of people in this world. And everybody listening, and if you're going to download it later, you're still going to be one of them. There's only three types. Those who have been caught, those that are caught up, and those that haven't been caught yet. There's nobody in here that falls outside of that category. Every single one of us listening should be or could have been in jail for some stuff we've done. So when you say, well, I don't need to listen to this show, hell, that's a bunch. I ain't worried about it. You better be worried about it because you've learned in America, you've learned nothing else. If you're black or Hispanic especially, you've learned one thing. You don't have to be wrong to be in jail. All you got to do is be in the wrong place. All you got to do is have somebody think you did wrong. All you got to do is just be you sometimes driving or walking down the street or shopping or sitting in a dorm room or going into Walmart and buying a gun, a BB gun off their rack, playing with a toy gun in a park, or going to a swimming pool, or walking to the library, or driving your car, or sitting in Waffle House, or going to Starbucks. See, it ain't that easy. It's hard every day. So what do we do? How do we fix it? Gus, Rob, y'all still on. What do we do? What's the solution? Where do we go from here? What's going to work? Because these young folks today are not going to put up with it. They're not going to sit on the sidewalk seeing Negro spirituals and let you squirt them with water hose. They're not going to do it. So we've got to, as adults or the responsible people, even the young people, we got to have a hard conversation, and this jail system is not working. It's,
wow.
We look at some of these sentences on Facebook, and it's crazy. Brother John, mics are open. I'm sorry.
Okay. That's a tough one, Stan. I mean, the only thing we can do is teach our young people, man, to not be part of that system. Do everything you can to avoid that until some answers are met, even after. And we got to make the system fair for everybody. Man, you can't have – that's why we need a uniform code of justice for the whole country. Because you can't have some people going to jail for something in one jurisdiction and then the next jurisdiction, you know, it's a pat on the wrist or all right, go home, don't do it again. I mean, it's the sentences are different all over the place for different crimes. I mean, it's crazy. But the main thing we have to do is teach our people, namely our kids and our young people, to try and not be part of that system, man. Try not to be, you know. Don't let yourself get caught up, and then you have to deal with that system.
But let me interject this, though, Gus. I agree with what you're saying, but the problem is we can put a uniform system down all day long. But I can tell you this. If you go to a city where those police officers are not civil service, you go ask them rich folks, time they got a ticket, and the answer is never, because those officers can be fired on the spot without cause. You're out of here. Goodbye. And those politicians there are not going to let those officers get civil service. So You go into a city where there is civil service, I don't give a damn if you're the chief's daughter, the mayor's son. You know, you can sign with your right hand or your left hand, but you're going to sign the same block everybody else signs. And you know what? If they want to do something to you, now they got to have just cause. So I'll tell you a good start to all of this. A great start would be is you provide civil service protection for every police officer. So some of these officers don't have to sweat getting fired just because the chief or the sheriff don't like the way they looked at them. If you want equal justice and start somewhere, give every officer in this country civil service protection where they can write the rich kids with the poor kids, the black ones like the white ones, the white ones like the Hispanic ones. That's how you get a foot in the door, because these little towns that you go into, ask the officers, are you civil service? No. So they're going to toe the line. They're going to do what they're told. And that's the scenes where you see, well, the sheriff's my daddy, and that little girl gets to go home. You try that in a civil service city. You try that if you want to. Good. Well, you go home and show them what you got because you have that protection. And once you instill that, then you talk about this prison system. You start locking these folks up to violate people's civil rights in the prison. You put them in jail right where they violated them. You know what? It's a cell opening there. Put them in the bed right next to the person who rights they violated. You know, that one woman that wouldn't give the insulin to the lady and the woman ended up dying in prison, that woman got probation. Are you kidding me?
Mm.
6 months in jail, 2 years probation. Somebody's dead. But you get caught with a $5 bag of weed, you're going to get the opposite. You're going to get 6 years in prison and 2 months probation. See, that's the inconsistency. That's the nonsense that some people are frustrated about.
Man.
You know, right. Rob, you're still on, man. You can chime in. At this time, I also got my ace in the bullpen, Mr. Tyrone K. Dunmore, and he always fills in and chimes in and drops some bombs in here, Ty, because I got a little more to go, but... Man, I need a break from this because this one here will make you hot up under the collar, brother. Your mic is open. Please add something in here.
All right. Good morning, everybody. Of course, I'm going to add something. I mean, it's kind of, I'm just going to piggyback on what Gus said. It's not going to change until we change. And what I mean by that is it was set up that way. And I've used the same, if you want to call it analogy or metaphor before, when it comes to pesticides, when it comes to rodents, the way you used to catch them years ago, you don't catch them that way. They got smarter. Same thing with roaches and any other what we call pests, because they, like other life species, which we are supposed to be the head of all life species, supposed to be the most intelligent, as they say. I definitely believe with that, you know, that because we have this brain, but most of times, oftentimes, a lot of times, too many times, we don't use our brains. We use our heart and we get caught up in the emotion of things. And they know that the system knows that by design, by how to get to us. But we should know by design by now how to stay away from it. And one of those things is cooler head will prevail, you know, so don't get fired up, so to speak. Don't get hyped up. Don't, you know, because we're very animated people. We're very soulful, spiritual, emotional people, and they will beat the drum on your heart. And they can touch us in areas where other people don't bother. So one of the main reasons why we know this is all happening is because the removal, whether it was done by purpose or because the man left himself, that head of that household principle leaves that woman, the female, pretty much. And when I say that the head of the household, I mean the way it was designed universally, the way it was designed initially, naturally, man was the head of that household. And it's a no. I bet you if you go look at those numbers and see how many of those people that incarcerated, how many of them either had a really strong male figure in their life that helped guided them, or there was no man. I'd be willing to bet that male principle, and it's not just a principle, it is also the principle, like your school, wasn't there, was absent. Yes, some of us escaped, some of us were, but that's you know, we're rolling dice with life right here. And we see that it's like going to the casino. Yeah, somebody hit the jackpot. Yeah, somebody made it to the NBA. Yeah, somebody made it to the NFL, whatever. But when you look at the numbers, the majority of them don't make it. The who do play at a scholastic level, collegiate level, and going to the next level. As you said earlier, as we're going to go next level with this, this is next level. But where are we going next level? We're going in the opposite direction. We're going to level where now the women are the heads of the household. Now, don't get me wrong. The women are our strength when they're in their proper place and space. Likewise, with us there with them, because they become a thorn in our side just like we become a thorn in their side when either one of us aren't doing our duties. And you can't do your duties if you're AWOL, if you're absent without leave or absent without logic or absent without love, whatever way you want to roll it. You know, so don't take that as a disrespect, ladies. It goes for both of us. If we're doing what we're supposed to do, what we was naturally created and designed to do, we wouldn't have these ridiculous numbers like this. But we got to start where the root is. It starts in that home. And the women are doing the best they can, but it's not designed that way. So they have a system diabolically, I call it demonically designed. Not only diabolically, but demonically designed to unnaturally and disproportionately pry our sons. You look at the word prison, you know, they say A-E-I sometimes, Y. Take the I and put the Y there. Now you're prying the sons out. You're prying out the men. And what do? They're raised, they're left in many cases to be raised by women who are more emotional. So what do you think you're going to help breed? There's not that balance in the household. So we go out in the society, our kids go out there, and they're unbalanced because they don't get it from both sides. It's like you got to look on both sides of the street before you cross the street. If you just look one way, if you had an intersection, and we had the intersection in life, you just look one way and don't look the other. You bound to get hit. So we're obviously, we should have known by now that this system is and has always been and will continue to be, and it's slowly getting better because more and more are waking up as far as knowing about it. But we got to do something about it. And that means we have to curb our emotional behavior. We have to suppress that anger and that frustration. I mean, suppress it in a good way. Don't get me wrong. You got to get angry sometime, but we become self-destructive with it. We become so angry we implode as well as explode. And what do to try to keep things down? Too many times we turn to chemical substances like drugs, alcohol.
Yep.
You know, to suppress this hurt and this pain that we feel, which further fires us up once we, or not we, but I'm just saying once people get to that, because they said, man, when somebody's angry, what do they say? I'm getting hot. Well, what do you think alcohol is? It's ether. It's ether. What do you think? When it goes down, and those who are taking a shot, you know what it is. You say, I'm taking a shot. I want to go straight to the head. And when it goes down your throat, it burns. So you're adding already heat to already a hot situation and space within your own space. So many people unknowingly, or I should say knowingly, are ignoring all the signs, ignoring these facts, and we stay ignorant to the fact. So we remain constantly being maneuvered into this criminal activity, which we want to blame the system, which it's enough for that, guys and ladies. We want to blame the system instead. That's like you go and get your whole paycheck. I don't know if anybody ever went to any major cities and they have these little street games. One in particular game is called Three Card Molly. Anybody who knows the game don't play it. They don't play it. But you go in there now, you take your hard-earned money, and you think you're going to get this guy. But see, it's a game. But you want to jump in the game and you want to play it. Think you're going to win. And so you take that chance of going out there, whether you want to rob, steal, rape, sell drugs, you want to take those risks. A smart player looks at Three Card Molly and goes, I ain't messing with that. It looked good.
Right.
It sounds good. But you know what? The results of if I don't make my money or get my money back, and you'll find that what's happened. We're living in this life of retribution. We got to get revenge. We got to take a strike for the brothers or the sisters. And we're constantly thinking of revenge instead of, as we do on this show, reform. We got to reform our thoughts. We got to reform our mindset. We got to reform our spirits. We are deformed in the way we do and think things. They also got a game, what they call, it's like a rubber ball with bottle caps. And anybody knows, because anybody been in the casinos, majority of people that was walking down that hallway, if you go in the casino, they're not smiling because they want a whole lot of money. They're probably smiling because they drank enough so that they didn't feel the pain after all the money they just left. It's a game, and we got to be smarter. We got to bring back. Not only not knowing about it, we have to do. We got to be consistent with it, because they're not going to stop doing what they do. When I mean they, the system. Yes, you get caught up in that system. Now you're a number. So and those people who might be working in that system, I'm not saying all COs are awful people, but just like you have police officers, just like you have family members, and just like you have people on your job, we got misfits in every proportion. Oh, let's start in the White House if you want to, but we ain't going to go there right now, on every portion of society. You don't think you got some crooked guards in there? You don't think you got some swindlers, some, you know, of course they're in there. And so it's not a safe system. Yes, you know what I mean. So just like you say, you got to call them out. You got to identify them. You have to, if you want to call it the whistleblowers. You know, we got to stand up and speak out against what's wrong at all levels, regardless what job we're at. And I think that's where we're lacking a lot of courage. And that's why, because of that lack of courage, we continue to have an excess of chaos. We got to bring back some dignity and some pride and some self-accountability and responsibility for our own actions. Yes, and you could be dead, as they say, you could be dead right. I'd rather be alive wrong. So, as you said, brother, we got to learn to shut our mouths at times. We got to just learn to not be so animated. We got to get a better control on our emotional state of being, because right now we're delusional. We're becoming delirious. We create this dilemma, and it's weakening us. It's not upgrading. It's not strengthening us.
Right.
We know we got an educational system that suppresses our natural born divinity, which means our power. So we're being weakened. And long as you, as Joe Brown said last week on the show, demasculation, they're taking away the man. We got to man up. But you know, Stan, what it is, when we man up, we catch hell. When you man up, people cutting their eye at you. When you man up, you call crazy. When you man up, you get ostracized. When you man up, and see, everybody wants to be liked. But then they go to say, and I'm not going to go there, but they may go to church every Sunday and say, well, they hated Jesus Christ. Well, if that's your punchline, then get involved in the world of being hated. And being hated means don't be in the world, but not of the world, and do what you can do to help change the world for the better. And that means you got to speak out against what's wrong. I don't care who it is. If it's your mama, your daddy, your uncle, your cousin. I mean, how many people have been violated by relatives? Straight up, direct relatives. So our problem is rooted right first home in the family, and we got to speak out. And I applaud you for being so courageous, being in the field you are in, speaking out against what ain't right. That's the first step. But then once you get that step, then we got to take the next step. We got to proactively keep putting the pressure on it and keep doing it. And no, you're not going to be liked, Stan. I know I'm not liked. We're not in the business of being liked. We're in the business of trying to make it right. And only how we can do that is we got to keep pushing, not hitting the drum of we're the victims, be the drum of what do we got to do to be victorious. And in any war, you got to have intel. You have to have intel.
Let's do this. We're down to the last couple minutes, so we're going to go through, and Ty, you're going to be last. And I'm going to start up there with Gus. And what I want to hear, and that's what we do here, when people call in, all the people that have held long, they get the last say. And I usually let them talk about anything they want to talk about. Gus, I'm going to give you 1 minute for any topic you want, and then 1 minute with a solution, an idea. Nothing is crazy, because these people we got in charge don't know what the hell they're doing. If they did, we wouldn't be here talking about this today. So 1 minute for anything you want to talk about, and then 1 minute, give me a solution.
Amen. Well, first I want to say good for the thoughtful insight from Brother TKD and yourself, Stan. We need more people like you. I mean, this is not a talking point. We need more officers, peace officers who are actively working, who can observe all the distrust and all the corruption that's going on from their point of view, you know, being in the system. We need more of that. We also need to still continue to teach our youngins how to not be a part of the system negatively, so they won't have to deal with getting pulled over while black or doing something detrimental to their livelihood or to their, you know, of them being incarcerated. I think all of that stuff comes into play if we have people who are in the power of protecting and serving, and speaking out on corruption, a lot of this stuff that we're going through right now would disappear. Now my solution to that is to have everyone who's in the power, who has the power of authority in the peace officer business, is to keep their eyes open and tell and say what they see if it's wrong and it's corrupt. And that's it. I think most of our problems will be gone. Most of our problems will be gone. And also it comes along with everything everybody said is also fairness in sentencing too. Fairness in sentencing. You can't give one guy 10 years for a bag of coke and the other guy 6 months probation. You can't do that. It's not working because it negatively affects people of color, the brown people of color. It negatively affects. Not that it don't affect white people, but it affects mostly us. We get caught with a couple bags of weed, we're getting pretty much the maximum. Somebody of any affluence gets caught with a bag of weed, i.e. be the money or their skin tone, they're being held a little lenient with. So I do think that if we all keep an eye on what's going on, pay attention, and step out in the forefront, get uncomfortable and speak out against it, because I don't have the answers. I don't have the answer. And speak out against it. I think we'll have a better prison reform system or processing to handle prison reform. Thank you.
All right, brother. Appreciate you, man. We're going to go down to you. Robert, what's up? 1 minute for anything you want. 1 minute on the solution.
I just would close out.
Go ahead.
I just would close out with saying, I think we all have the right idea in pointing out the problem, but the biggest problem is that the solution with the prison system, that's still what I mean. Like I know you said a while back with the private prison system, that shouldn't have ever really. If the prison system was created for, or doing what it was created to do, we wouldn't need a private prison system. So I, like with my question earlier that I had, I was just saying that we need to examine, are these laws or are the guidelines that are putting people in prison used to actually discipline the community, or are they being used just to make money? Because there is a big difference. Thanks again for having me on, Stan. You can definitely follow us on Facebook at a roundtable presented by GCC Productions.
Appreciate you, brother. And then for my pet peeve with it, I say as long as there's money to be made off the suffering of other people, we're going to have these prison problems. Until we get off our asses and start registering to vote, and I don't care if you register Republican or Democrat, that's your business. But as long as we keep voting in people who are making money off of other people being incarcerated, you're voting and you're putting a target on your back, period, point blank. Your whiteness will not save you from prison. Your blackness will not save you from prison. Because Lord knows if you're tan, you're probably headed back to Mexico in one of these, what I guess I call it, a concentration camp, and your kids probably won't be with you. That's the America that we live in today. But as a solution, my solution is we have people who are incarcerated. We have people who have made mistakes. These people have been stripped of their dignity. They've had to live in some hard conditions. And I think that when these people come back out into society, whatever state you live in, most of them were put in jail and they didn't have an ID card. They didn't have a driver's license. They didn't even have an identity. That's part of the reason they got caught up in the things they got caught up with. They had no self-esteem. So when you release these people, you got to have an address you're releasing them to. They don't just open the gate and kick them out. So how about if we can spend money printing up a prison offender card and having somebody who served their time and paid their debt to society have to come out, and the first time they go to buy a beer or a pack of cigarettes, they got to present an ID that says offender to remind them of the debt they just paid for. How would you like it if your mortgage company called you up and said, well, we know you paid last month, but pay us again? We got to stop perpetually just punishing these people over and over again. So what do? If you can print a state ID card that says offender, or a county ID card that says offender, or a federal ID card that says offender, then damn it, you can print a state ID card that says citizen, just like everybody else. So when they walk out of that gate, they've got an identity. When they walk out of that gate, they are somebody. They can go out and buy a pack of cigarettes if they want to, or buy a beer if they want to. Or when somebody says, can I see your ID, they get to see who this person is. They're a citizen. They're not an offender. So if we want people to have dignity, we can't call it saying that we're trying to reform people in prison and we're constantly victimizing. Give these people an identity. If you're putting them out here onto the street and you're releasing them to an address, give them a state ID card. Now, what is that going to do? When we run into these people, we look and we see officers, they got state, they got tattoos from jail. Guess what? If your state has a law, every offender that's let out either has their ID card renewed or is issued a new ID card, guess what? Now we can track them easier, officers. We know they got an ID card. If they tell you, I don't have no ID card, BS, we know better. But at the same time, for those who are trying to get their life together, we're allowing them now to become citizens, something they didn't have when they went into jail. They didn't have an ID card. Let them go in and apply for a job and be able to show a state of Texas ID card and not a state of Texas offender card for something they already paid for. None of us wants to pay twice for the coffee you get at Starbucks. You'd be offended if you had to pay twice at the gas pump. But we're making these people pay twice, and then they got to pay every day, every time they go to get a job. Give people some dignity. If they did their time and they're starting a new life, then give them an ID card. And let them be part of the society. Let them be part of it. You'd be amazed at how far that will go. Sure, are some people going to continue their criminal business? Yeah, they will. But we see in all walks of life, from the police department to the pulpits to the political city halls, we see corruption everywhere. We don't mind watching those people committed every day to some degree. So at least give the people who paid their price a chance. And if you're uncomfortable around people who've been to jail, if you're uncomfortable with me talking positively about people that have been to jail, then I don't want to see you in church tomorrow screaming Jesus' name. I don't want to hear you screaming about how good Paul is and Peter is, and I'm so Christian, because every one of those folks been to jail. So if America's so full of evangelical Christians, maybe if we started acting like it, more of these people would have a chance when they get out, so they don't have to go back and commit the same things over and over again. What we preach, and with that, Ty, I'm going to defer down to you, man. We got about 3 minutes. Take us out.
Well, as you said, man, some solution. I want to talk about the solution. And before I touch on, I'm just going to piggyback on what you just said. That dignity and self-pride are all human beings deserve. And of course, people have got caught up. They did some things. But there is reform. There is change. People do change. And regardless how we may look at it, we're not the ones that should be judging them. If they have rehabilitated themselves, if they have a system in place or work toward legislation to get, I would say, in these prisons, which they do have vocational and educational training and systems in there, those inmates who want that, they're going to go for that and make that part of the don't even make it part of the stipulation, so to speak, for early dismissal. They say good behavior. Mm-hmm. Make that like one of those unknown, or eventually it'll be known, but start it off with your sentence gets reduced because now you've got training in a particular field. Like you said, if it's about reforming, it's about rehabilitation, we don't want to continue more punishing. And if they get released and they don't have nothing under their belt, I mean, they're in there, make better use of them other than they're working. So at the same time, leave it open, though, again, just like anything else. Don't make it mandatory. So that is a matter of heart. If somebody really is in there and did something bad and really want to change, there are other avenues. So when they come out, they not only got that state card, they got some training, mm-hmm. they got some skills now, right. They got something to offer to a society. Otherwise, if you just bring them out here, leave them out here with nothing or give them nothing, well, as the sayings of the late, great Billy Preston says, nothing for nothing, leave nothing, you know? So, you know, we can't afford, a lot of people can't afford private attorneys, but they could, but they for some reason feel like they can afford to keep going, getting caught up in these private prisons. I say, you know, think before we act, when at all possible. Really observe. Think before you act. Know before you believe. Stop and contemplate. Like I said, take a breath, take a deep breath before you go and further escalate some situation. Because, see, we're all capable of going from 0 to 100. Make no mistake, whether it's a peace officer, law officer, because we're emotion. We are human beings. We do have spirit. We have a soul. You can't try to defer that like that doesn't happen. But those people who are in certain positions have better control. So I say look at yourself in the mirror every day. Look at better controlling yourselves. before we think we can better control what happens in our world. If you can't even have any discipline and self-control, and you've heard me say this before, those the three D's, you know, we got your DOAs, dead on arrival. But for us really to move forward, we need discipline. We need to be obedient. We have to obey. And we have to be applicable. We have to apply ourselves, not just be filling out applications. So application, obedience, and discipline are three keys to staying successful. So that's pretty much it. That is the my solution to this ongoing problem, or I say challenge. Thank you.
All right, brother. Hey, for all you guys who want to download the shows later, you can find them at stanmason.com. The YouTube videos are also there. We're doing some work on the website. We're going to be boosting up a new website here shortly, and I just want to go out here and say that this show is dedicated to my niece, Monique Mason, and I'm going to do something for myself now and then in honor of her memory and to absolutely bar none, the strongest woman I've ever met in my life was my little sister, Susan Mason, who was her mother, who fought an entire bureaucracy and cried and raising those two grandchildren as hers and living it every day and reliving a nightmare every birthday, every year, and stands up there and fights and fought through all that bullshit that they threw at her. I mean, you can read about it, but until you've been through it and seen it, it's a fight. And she stood in there, and she fought, and she won. And I'm proud of you, Q. And I love you, and I thank everybody for tuning in. You guys for putting up. This was a tough show, but I think it was one that was relevant and needed to be done. Love you guys. Facebook Live crew was in here as always. Good talking points over there. So we'll see you all next week. You guys be careful. Take care of each other this weekend. Love you guys, and we'll see you next week.
Ladies and gentlemen, please sit back because you are now about to go behind the blue curtain.